Saturday Night Theater. Tonight's play is set in and around the prisoner of war compound on the Aleppo Mosul stretch of the Berlin-Baghdad Railway near Nesabu. The year is 1980. We present William Lucas in The Indomitable Pippin, a new play for radio by Alan Peacock.
Sergeant,
you do not burst into this room without knocking, and you will stop acting like an hysterical girl. Get to attention. I'm surprised at you, Spencer. 3 years as a prisoner of war should have taught you the value of discipline. Our Turkish guards are becoming sloppy and inefficient. That's no excuse for you to do the same. I expect you to set a clear and decisive example.
Yes, sir.
Who's going to suspect prisoners of war to be gathering military information, yet caught with these documents in front of me? The Turks would realize what we've been doing and smash our entire intelligence network. That's why no one, not Turks, not Germans, and particularly not you, comes into this room without knocking and waiting for permission.
I'm sorry.
Do it again and you'll regret the day you were born. I pity your headmaster back home. Remember, Spencer, prisoners of war do all the useful jobs here. Without us, they couldn't run the railway at all. Because we run it smoothly and efficiently, they take us for granted, yet we could paralyze their communications whenever we choose. But never forget, they have the guns. Our strength depends upon keeping control, not only of the situation, but of ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Very well, at ease. Now, what is it?
An Arab outside the camp deliberately taunted the Turkish guards. Poor devil was beaten up and questioned. He told them Lawrence had been here in disguise. Now the Turks are sending out patrols towards Nesabin.
Is the telegraph still working?
Yes, Corporal Gale transmitted an urgent message to alert the commandant of the Aleppo.
See, even in a crisis they use a POW signaler. But why hasn't Major Lawrence destroyed the telegraph? It's not like him to let them alert the entire railway, not from the tails reversed.
But the Turks aren't patrolling towards the end of the line.
Well, you mean they're not going into the desert? You sure of this, Spencer? Well, what the devil's that noise?
The Indian Army POWs have turned it into a celebration.
So I'll give them something to celebrate. Come in!
Oh, Pippin, sir.
Superdar Ramnath.
It is fine news, Sergeant Pippin. The legendary Major Lawrence visiting us in our prison cage under the very nose of the
Turk. Please sit down, Superdar. Spencer, stand by the door.
Right.
You do not look pleased, Pippin, sir. This has done great things for the morale of the Indian rank and file. If you can hear... There is great singing and dancing in the light.
Yes, Subedar Ramnath, I hear, and I wish it to be stopped.
But, Sergeant Pippin, it is a great thing they are celebrating. For Major Lawrence to enter the camp in the train of Sheikh Shama, disguised as a Bedouin chieftain, is a great impudence.
You've only been a prisoner of war for a few months, Subedar. But while you've been here, it must have become quite clear, whatever the Turks may say, on this part of the railway, I control the situation. I request that you give orders for all Indian prisoners not already on duty to parade for marching drill, at least for 1 hour. That should subdue their high spirits.
Very well. I will give the instructions at once. Excuse me, Sergeant.
I shall explain the reasons when you return.
I would like to hear them. I shall return, if you please.
Thank you. See you out. You know, it's damn difficult giving that man orders.
Well, surely not for you, Tom.
You know as well as I do that in any other army, that man would be a commissioned officer, and why not? As part of the Empire, they fight wherever we do. As far as his men are concerned, he really is an officer anyway, a good one at that.
Am I allowed to have one guess, Tom?
What's got into you?
Lawrence has passed you orders under the nose of the Turk.
Oh, stand, sir, please. I have not seen Major Lawrence and no orders have been passed on to me. Only the rumor that some Arab chief made strange remarks. You are not forgotten. Keep up the good work. It won't be much longer.
You don't think it was him?
Now, don't put words into my mouth. Our hard-packed sand makes a good parade ground. There goes my carefully developed popularity with the Indians. Ah, the Superdar's on his way back already. Let him come straight in.
Right on.
Sergeant Pippin, you will have trouble with that senior Havildar. He is a proud man. He obeyed my orders, but he was not willing. I did not say it was your order, but he assumed it.
Sergeant Pippin is not convinced that Major Lawrence was in the camp.
Sergeant Pippin...
Turkish troops are now patrolling from here to Aleppo, over 250 miles. The telegraph is spreading confusion, and some of the railway signalers, being prisoners of war, are increasing the military edict.
Well, this is consistent with what we've heard of them.
Very true. Even to an Arab creating the alert. But what was he doing in company with the Shamar?
Well, they are Arabs.
Yeah, but not his Arabs. The Shamar are the paid friends of the Turk. The Sheikh rode in here to collect his wages in gold. He would have handed Lawrence over without a qualm. The Shamar are no friends of the Arab army.
But they might be prepared to help the British.
Any time they like, they can come and see the British like caged animals in the zoo. I don't think we're likely to impress them very much.
You have something more definite in mind than raising objections, Pippin Clark.
Let's assume this was Major Lawrence.
Ah.
Now, I don't know what he's doing in this area, but I intend to try and find him and report.
You mean escape?
Oh, subdue your boyish enthusiasm, Spencer. Sure. In my hands, I have a mass of information gathered by trained military observers working with the railway. Now, this information will be useless if we cannot pass it directly to British Army headquarters at Jerusalem. For reasons well known to you, at least, Spencer, we have no means by which to get it there.
I have been told of your previous efforts, Pippin Sub. I thank you for drawing me into your confidence.
Well, from now on, you're one of us, Subedar. And what is more, you are the senior-ranking Indian Army prisoner of war. The men in this camp come under you. But you also command the 400 Indians encamped at the other end of line. Spencer tells me the Turks are not patrolling in that direction.
I can confirm his observation.
Nothing to worry them out there. The railway ends 6 miles out from Badu Gorge in the middle of desert there.
Well, which is why your fellow Indians are camped without guards, isolated in an empty desert. Now, the railway is their lifeline. Without it, they'd get no food or water. Imagine the consequences if the track between us was wrecked.
You think this could happen?
I say it's a possibility, Subedar. Captain Muchak is short of men. With this argument, I shall attempt to persuade him into letting us three go out and examine the tracks for signs of damage. It is my belief that Major Lawrence is out there.
Then you'll be pointing the finger of the Turk, right
at him. Oh, I doubt it. Without the water train, which is due to those men in the morning, they will face disaster.
Oh, Mooch is a crafty old bird. You guess you're up to something.
Yes, I expect him to smell a rat. It's up to me to deflect his suspicion. I've almost strained a gut trying to discover how I did that conjuring trick on the German general. If I let him draw the secret out of me, he'll be so pleased with himself he won't stop to be suspicious.
You know, you might pull it off at that.
On that vote of confidence, we can break up this discussion. Perhaps you can both make your preparations while I tackle Captain Astapas Moosejack.
Ah, to see the arrogant figure of Sergeant Pippin striding through all the heat and confusion out there makes me regret my faded youth. And looking so cool. Oh, I am melting in the heat.
It's the middle of summer, Moochie. It's always hot out here.
Yet this summer seems unusually hot to me. Excessive weight, I suppose. Oh, I must try to reduce it.
If you can't lose weight in this Turkish bath, you never will. Oh, stay happy and fat, it suits you.
There speaks a man without a spare ounce of fat upon his body. And happy.
Happy.
I suppose you have come to gloat over our stupidity.
Ah, you know me better than that, Moochie. But I haven't only come to look at your model bridges.
All my life, it is only model bridges, never a real one. We set out to build a great railway from Berlin to Baghdad. It was to be a partnership. But who controls the construction? The Germans. We Turks know best what is good in Turkish territory, but when we begin to make arguments, what happens? We are turned into soldiers. They put me into a uniform and call me captain. What is that? I am only a civilian railway engineer who once hoped to build bridges. If only they would let me design one. But no. The Kaiser, the All-Highest, has given the orders. Do not let Muki build a bridge, he says, and keep him far from the pleasures of civilization. Oh, 2 years in this hothouse. And now you're Laura.
You're getting up a fine head of steam there, Muki. Hey, you mean to say you really believe in this tale of a British officer turned Arab chieftain?
There is a very large reward out for his capture. Arabs believe in him well enough. He is not just a chieftain, Tom Pippin. Auran, they call him. Any, a sheriff, a prince, Auran.
So there's a strong chance that the railway may be attacked or at least damaged in some way.
Between here and Aleppo, that would be quite impossible.
Now, between here and Aleppo doesn't concern me. Between here and the camp at end of line does. We have the water train due to them in the morning. I presume you're patrolling the outward section?
There would be no point in damaging the railway out that way.
Would that stop an enthusiastic, hot-headed young Arab?
We have to take a chance on it. There are no men to spare.
I don't take chances with men's lives. That section must be patrolled.
If there were men available, I would send them. I promise you, it is not laxity on my part.
Very well. Then get me permission to examine the line myself.
There are also none spare for escort duty.
My first responsibility is to the safety of 400 Indian prisoners of war. With or without escort, I request permission to go out and examine that section of track.
It is a strange request, Tom Tipton.
But under these circumstances, not unreasonable.
I am a middle-aged, slothful man. That is true. However great a bridge builder I think myself, I am also a suspicious one. Particularly when I have the unhappy coincidence of Major Lawrence reported in the area, and then Tom Tipton wishing to go out into the desert.
We're talking about the railway, not the desert. I originally asked for your own men to patrol the section.
A request which you probably anticipated could not be met. You see, I have reason to be suspicious. You are a clever man, Tom. It would not be difficult for you to make a fool of me. You made a fool of a German general.
That affair has nothing to do with this.
Yet I can never forget the general's face as he pulled the playing card from his pocket.
I don't make fools of my friends, Mucci.
Not even if it were your military duty? I remember when you and I were far from being friends, Tom. It was not a happy time. I do not wish to live that over again. I am like your Sergeant Spencer. I do not understand professional soldiers.
We have one-track minds, Mucci.
I must consider this more fully. Is it not you who have so often accused me of being lax? I suppose it is not worth my asking you again how you managed that trick. I promise on my honor to keep the secret to myself.
I'm supposed to trust you, but you won't trust me.
How can I send you out unescorted? You should escape. There will be no more railway for me and probably a cell to myself for a long time to come.
Escape in that direction? To where? There's only death out there. Am I supposed to be a complete idiot, Mucci?
Sometimes I think we are all.
You offered your word of honor. I offer you mine. No escape.
You are making a bargain.
I'm offering my word of honor that we will make no escape.
We? Who is we?
Oh, Spencer for one and Subedar Ramnath. He's in direct command of all Indian Army personnel.
And will they abide by your word of honor?
They will.
I shall have to speak with the commandant.
Yeah, of course. I'd like to start as soon as possible.
But you were going to tell me about the German general.
Oh, did I say that?
I was definitely under the impression. Oh, Tom, I must know that as crowded concert hall, your conjuring tricks, you never touched the general. Even when you handed him a pack of cards, he had to stretch his arm right out to you. Oh, I enjoyed his discomfiture. I have driven myself sleepless trying to think how it was done.
Well, if you must know, Mucci, your word of honor not to say a word until the war's over.
My word of honor.
Very well. You know that an English POW was acting as valet for the general?
Yes.
Well, before the show, I gave the card to that valet and told him where to hide it. That night in the hall, he gave me the nod to say he'd been successful.
No! The acting! Your astonishment! Your reluctance to accuse the mighty German general. It was superb. And do you mean to tell me the card is there in his pocket all the time?
Time's getting on, Mucci.
Eh? Yes. Of course. I will speak with the commandant at once. My word. I'm truly glad that we two are friends, Tom Tipton.
Three prisoners of war,
something a hand operated
explosion along enemy railway. And without escort.
Enemy railway, Spence. You seem to forget this was built by us. I may not have the education, and that's a word. But I've learned a few things you won't find in your book. How to grab at straws and turn them into iron bars, for instance. I would like to feel this was a result of anticipation and planning. In fact, it was all bluff and a lot of luck.
It gave me perpetuity. 57, which I've been in all over these days, handing you your black toolbox. If we had looked inside, why?
That black toolbox has been part of my kit for nearly 3 years. It's taken for granted. I never even thought of a risk.
I was a superer. I feel the cold sweat breaking right down my back.
Well, it came out all right.
It was in the same class of impudence as the visit of Major Lawrence.
Ah, no, not really, Superdart.
You really expect to find the Major, Petinka?
Well, there's a small oasis about 6 miles out into the desert this side of the Marduk Falls.
6 miles out? Can you be certain?
I can't say, but I've been there.
Huh?
But that was another occasion. You will have to take the bogey onto the end of the line by yourself, Subadar. I have warned Captain Lucien that we may have to spend the night in the camp. Spencer will be coming with me.
Oh, well, I'd volunteer.
Yeah, you did that when you joined us.
This isn't our job.
You should be able to manage this thing on your own, Subadar.
Yes, indeed. And you wish me to wait at the camp until you return?
Yes, Subadar, I'd like you to do that, but I cannot demand it of you. Where Major Lyons goes, bridges have been known to disappear. The Marduk Gorge is a sheer drop of over 500 feet. It's 40 miles of complete ventilation on either side of the bridge.
This could be a serious threat to my men, Petinchak. I will put the water on ration as soon as I arrive.
If I see Major Lyons, I shall try to make certain he leaves the bridge alone. But if something should go wrong, a cool head at end of line could save his catastrophe.
If you are still on this side of the gorge, Petinchak, I should be content to wait no matter what happens.
You expect too much?
No, Petinchak.
But make no attempt to move out from the camp. Marching men need more water than men lying in the shade.
Do not move until you come.
Good. Now slow down, Spencer. This is where we get out and walk.
I don't have to stupid out picking this thing on his own.
Don't worry on my behalf, Captain Spencer. 6 miles is a long way to walk in the desert.
There's a gully just ahead. We'll stop there. Pick up 4 of the water bottles. I'll bring 2 in the box. Right now.
Will 6 water bottles be enough, Pippin, sir?
Yes, more than enough. Hop down, Spence. Be ready to give the Superdar a shove off.
Ready,
sir. That is all your Superdar. From here on, you must trust to the gods.
I would rather trust Pippin, sir, in this situation.
Good luck.
Good journey and safe return to you both.
We shall take no risk. You do the same. Ready, Spence?
Ready, Tom.
Right. Shoulder to the wheel. 1, 2, 3. Yes, Subadar.
I will do nothing to be shot.
Trust me, Subadar. Yeah. We'll lie in the shade for a breather before we set off. I can brief you at the same time. Put your feet up. It's a long march and bad ground.
Oh, you only have to tell me once.
Keeping a steady breath. We ought to make the oasis in 2 hours or so. When we get nearly inside, you will take the black box and fall back.
Is that a good idea, Tom?
Look, I'm giving orders, Spencer, not having a discussion.
Sorry, sir.
Oh, damn it. Look, Spence. When I said there was no planning and anticipation, I meant it. Having acted on impulse, I'm trying to plan as I go.
Improvising?
Yes, again. Yeah, I have the reputation of being a brilliant planner. You must be the only one who realizes that most of my planning is to get me out of whatever mess I've created. And thank heaven it doesn't often affect your sense of discipline. Mm. Yes, there's something to be said for the education of a schoolteacher.
No, I wasn't a schoolteacher for long.
Volunteering for the army wasn't very clever. Look where it got you. Private tutor to a thick-headed army sergeant.
You're my star pupil.
And you're a damn good teacher. It's rubbing off on me.
It worked the other way, too.
Yeah. Yes, we'll make a soldier out of you yet, as long as you learn to obey my orders.
I'm listening, Tom.
Good. Inside of the oasis, we shall drop to a crawl. You will stay behind me and move about 100 yards to my left. Bury the black box in the sand and stay by it. I shall go on into the oasis. If anything should happen to me, you will withdraw and join the Subadar at end of line.
You don't expect me to abandon you.
Look, I shall not enter the oasis unless I'm fairly sure there's a British officer around. But anything can happen. Wait until you get a signal from me, and under no circumstances, hand the box to anyone but me. If it goes wrong, and it could, I'm giving you orders to get away. Wait with the Superdar, and if I don't get back by morning, assume the worst.
Oh, I don't like it.
Well, like it or not, I expect my orders to be obeyed to the letter without question. Understand?
Yes, sir.
Right. Now pull your kerchief over your nose, keep the sand out.
Thanks, sir.
Down. We nearly walked into a...
What is it, Tom?
Crawl up beside me. We were nearer than I thought. Look, the oasis.
There must be over 200 over down there.
You saw the Sheikh Shemara, Leslie.
Yes.
Or is he among that lot?
I can't see, Tom. I think I see. Is he on a post? Yes. Right enough. Looking down on those two feathers.
Unless I'm badly mistaken, one of those three is the very man we want. The imp, the small one, dressed all in white.
He looks like an old Arab to me.
The mounted men circle him with respect.
Could that man be the big one?
No, the small chap in white is completely composed, very sure of himself. The big man keeps a finger in his rifle.
I wouldn't mind
the rifle myself right now. Well, it looks as if the shake is about to ride away, but our man is safe. Let him get out of sight before we act. In the meantime, you back up and move about 100 yards to the left. Take the box with you. You know the orders. Follow them to the letter.
Yes, Doc.
Right, now get moving.
You walked with him in among the church, and he did not know my robber.
Ymir looked evilly upon us all.
We have played a trick upon him, as well as them. He is gone, and we are still alive. It is well done.
I would not trust that one of them.
I do not trust him, Abdullah. I use him. After dealing with the bridge tonight, he will be secure. Then we hurry back to Azrath for the gathering.
Ashrath!
All the tribes match for battle. It will make the day's remembrance. Children will speak in awe of the might that grew from Azrath.
If a spy should hear you shouting to the winds, there would be only death growing from us, Rush.
I. Dog of the dog. We are betrayed.
What is it?
Fair or out. It is a Turk coming at us.
Put down your gun, Abdullah. When did one man make an army?
It happened the day you rode into the desert, Oran.
That is not a Turkish uniform marching towards us.
What does an English sergeant soldier do in this place?
I think we are about to find out.
Are you Major Lawrence?
Am I Major Lawrence? Look at me. An Arab in my dress, my look, right to my very smell. I have been many places, Sergeant, under the noses of the Turks even, but I have not been recognized. Yet you stride up to me as if this were a barrack square. A little scruffy in your dress, perhaps, but in every other way, a regimental soldier to your immaculate sons.
You are Major Lawrence?
Yes, I am. We can't talk out here. These are not my men about the oasis. They have light fingers and might well think you a Turk. Come into my tent.
I have a signal to make, first up.
No, you will do nothing until we have spoken in my tent. Make no attempt to signal or Abdullah will shoot you down now. Come on, Sergeant. In here. Sit down on that saddlebag. Now then, who are you? What are you doing out here and who is this signal for?
I am Sergeant Thomas Pippin of the Worcestershire Regiment. I have a man out there with information for British Army headquarters.
And you knew exactly where to find me?
Well, it seemed logical. I come from the prisoner of war camp near Nezabane.
A prisoner of war? With information for HQ?
However improbable it may sound, sir, if you will allow me to signal my men on the ridge, you can examine the documents for yourself.
How do I know that your signal may not bring down the whole Turkish army upon us?
A trap, yes. Yes, sir, of course. It could look like that.
You could be who you say you are. But you could be a decoy. How did you know where I was?
Well, I tried to estimate your purpose and put myself in your position. The Turks are convinced you must be in the other direction. They've sent out patrols to cover the railway from Nezabine to Aleppo.
Am I so obvious, Sergeant, that you can come straight to me, a prisoner of war? How did you get away? And what sort of information have you got?
We work on the railway as sanctioned by the British government. As a pre-war civil project, the Berlin-Baghdad Railway is permissible work for prisoners of war.
I know that. But what information?
Well, it's been collected by other prisoners working on the railway. Trained soldiers who know what to look for. It covers military deployments throughout Syria and Palestine. All units are identified.
You have collected the whole Turkish order of battle?
Well, it's taken time, sir. We have to get the information out. Trying to find you was a logical gamble. With your permission, sir, I will signal to Sergeant Spencer, and you can see for yourself.
You're going to signal no one. Where is this man of yours?
Watching into the oasis about 100 yards to the right from where I came in.
And there is no one else out there?
Not to my knowledge.
I shall see to myself. Abdullah, you will watch this sergeant soldier closely. You will not be allowed to move outside this tent.
If we tie him up, Aaron, I can come with you.
I will go alone.
You'll be wasting your time, sir. Sergeant Spencer will not hand you the documents without direct permission from me.
Sergeant Spencer, you say? I'll go and see for myself. Guard this man well, Abdullah.
He will stay, Aaron.
Major Lawrence, he has
he
my orders.
He's gone, sergeant soldier. Sit down again. Do not come closer.
You may be armed to the teeth like a bandit, but if I decide to go out there, you would not stop me. In your eyes, I see the same stubbornness as I see in those of our aunt. I do not wish to kill you, but if I must...
The last thing I expected. Oh, I'll let him go. He'll find out for himself, but if Spencer disobeys orders, I'll... Not then.
Do not worry, Sergeant Soldier. Our aunt will use cunning. He will move out from the other side of the oasis and circle around. He will look to see if there are Turks.
There won't be.
Our aunt must see for himself. Then he will come out softly behind your man.
Oh, what the hell now? Come on, Tom. What's gone wrong?
No need to worry, Sergeant Soldier.
What the devil? Where did you come from?
From behind.
Where's Sergeant Pippin?
He's safe enough.
Then you are Major Lawrence. It's uncanny how right Tom Pippin can be. He pointed you out from up here, but why hasn't he signaled?
He tells me you have certain documents up here.
Documents, sir?
Come on, you can get up now. Bring them down to the oasis. I can study them there.
I'm sorry, sir. My orders are to wait up here until I get a signal from Sergeant Pippin.
In the army, you always obey the last order, Sergeant.
This isn't a normal situation, sir. I'm sorry.
I believe I slightly outrank your Pippin.
You probably are who you say, sir. But in those armed clothes, you could be anyone.
Where are the documents, Spencer?
They're hidden, sir, as ordered. If I move from here, I'll never find the place again.
You attach a lot of responsibility to a fellow sergeant. Is he so much senior to you?
Well, he's a regular, sir. I'm not. Prisoners of war are not allowed to communicate with officers. So, as a result of his own ability, he now practically controls this section of the railway.
But I control the desert. The railway is a long march away.
I take my orders only from Sergeant Pippin, sir.
I see. Do you mind if I sit with you a while?
No, sir.
Hot up here?
Yes, sir.
So... Until Pippin signals, no documents.
I'm sorry, sir.
I admire loyalty, Spencer, however misplaced.
You don't understand.
I understand enough to know that with the enormous casualties at the various battlefronts, any man with a spark of leadership is rapidly promoted to commissioned rank. Your Pippin must be lacking in something essential to have remained only a sergeant.
Well, if he hadn't been taken prisoner at Gallipoli, he would be an officer. He captured and held a Turkish trench until the ammunition ran out. The support couldn't get through. His commission was automatically cancelled the moment he was reported missing. That was almost exactly 3 years ago, August 1915. About a month later, I was captured myself. It was a long, heartbreaking march into captivity. And waiting to meet us like an immovable rock was Tom Pippin. Even the Turks were treating him with respect. He isn't a paragon, sir, but he does have a strange stubbornness and pride. His mistakes don't stay mistakes. He won't let them. I don't understand what drives him, really.
How do you account for your freedom of movement without escort?
Well, Tom Pippin knows how to turn a situation to advantage. You created confusion, he made use of it. They ought to know better than to trust him so much.
No, why shouldn't they trust him?
Why, he was sending out military information from the beginning, sir. In letters, secret writing, lemon juice between the lines. He led a small circle of us, eight altogether, until we were caught. The Turkish censor, one cold morning, sitting huddled over the hot fire, and the secret writing came up before his eyes.
I see. But that makes your freedom of movement even less understandable.
Tom Pippin defended us all at the trial. He stared the Turkish colonel in the eye and defied him to limit the duties of a soldier in war, claimed that every Turk owed the same allegiance to his own country as we gave to ours, and that even the threat of death could not defeat these loyalties. He said it was a mark of pride to be captured by such gallant fighting men, and it spurred a soldier to even greater service by example. That colonel, president of the court, sat like a ramrod, tears and pride fighting on his face.
I'm surprised to hear the Turks can be so gullible.
Oh, then you've never been on the receiving end of Tom Pippin. I've seen him do it so often, and yet I still don't really understand. We were sentenced to 14 days solitary, and no letters were to be sent from any camp where we were lodged. We lost a few other privileges, but it was like being let off altogether.
So Pippin really fooled them, eh?
I don't know who was fooled, but they've respected and admired him ever since.
I'm not surprised that my orders can't reach past him.
I'm glad you understand, sir.
I also admire your loyalty, Sergeant Spencer. I'll go down and arrange for him to give you your signal. But first, a slight reprimand, I'm afraid. When you bury things in the desert, never let a man down to your own level. And keep your eyes away from the hiding place.
Oh, just a minute.
You said yourself I could be anyone in this dress. It pays to be suspicious. Next time, bend down and blow sand over the disturbed area. To a man who lives in the desert, that rough of fresh earth tells his own story. The reprimand is purely between you and me, Sergeant. Now I'll go down and make the arrangements with Pippin.
Well, I'll be damned.
They have been worried, Orange. You have been long gone.
It was necessary, Abdullah.
I've seen your man, Sergeant Pippin. It's hot on that ridge. You'd better give him your signal.
He obeyed orders, then.
Did you doubt him?
Not him. You are the unknown quantity, sir.
Come on outside.
You can see it clearly from by that palm tree.
Well, your man, Abdullah, is a walking arsenal, Major.
He knows how to use all of those weapons, Sergeant. Yes, this should do. Spencer will see you from here. What, is that all? No special signal?
Oh, a clear indication for me to proceed.
There is all. You could have been forced to make it with a dagger in your back.
This is one no dagger could force, however. I wonder.
That matter settled, sir. I wish to raise another.
The bridge at Barduk Gorge. You seem to anticipate my movements with considerable ease, sir.
So you do intend to destroy it?
Yes, I do, tonight.
You can't do it, sir.
I will be the best judge of that, sir.
It has no military use, sir.
It has a use to me.
But you don't understand the position.
No, sir. It is you who seems not to understand the position.
Sir, 400 men will die if that bridge is destroyed.
You seem to forget that killing first is my business.
These are Indian prisoners of war. There is a water train due to them tomorrow morning. Without it, they will be condemned to die of thirst. The bridge has no military significance. The railway ends in the open desert. It goes nowhere.
I am committed to destroying that bridge tonight.
Do it, and you will be committing deliberate murder at the same time.
I find you offensive, Sergeant.
Your opinion of me is of no significance, Major Lawrence. I demand you leave the Barduk Bridge alone.
You dare to demand? You are a fool, Sergeant Pitt. Abdullah, keep up with them. Wait here till I return. But where do you go, Alden? To talk of the camels, they more sense enough.
Is that supposed to be a British officer?
No, Sergeant Soldier. He is Aura. He has much on his mind, and you spoke to him with words born for anger. Aura is not a man to sacrifice one life, if it were possible, excepting it were his own.
I can't get through to him. He's so damned arrogant.
You also walk with arrogance, Sergeant Soldier?
Me? Arrogant?
Oh, Spencer.
What's the matter with you, Spencer?
Major Lawrence, he stared as if looking through me, calmly took the box out of my hand and walked away.
Well, and you let him? It's all right, Spencer. It doesn't matter. If you only put me foot in it this time, what am I supposed to do, Abdullah? Follow him and the public?
No, Sergeant Soldier. I think Aaron would rather be alone. He will return when he wishes. Much of life is past. Waiting. A little more is of no consequence. Come back into the tent.
We dare not wait any longer. Go and fetch him, Abdullah. We have to get back, and it's a long walk.
We might have to wait for dark now, Tom.
Aurons will come when he comes.
We're not only walking back to the end of line, Spence. We've got to assemble those Indians and march them out before the bridge goes down. Look, if you won't fetch him, I will.
No need, Sergeant Pippin. And you can forget any plan for marching the Indians out. Do that, and the Turks will realize I'm only creating a distraction. Can you make room for me to sit down? Oh,
sorry, sir. I'm taking up a lot of space.
Thank you.
No need for you to stand, Pippin, unless you wish to.
Sir.
This information of yours. I'm in a position to confirm some of it. What about the rest?
Oh, it takes about 7 days to notify me of changes. There may be a 10% error. I would think less.
General Ellamere will welcome you with open arms. You must come with me tonight. I will see you on the way.
No, sir. We brought the information for you to pass on. We have to return.
What?
To get out without escort involved the use of my word of honor.
I see. Then you will be back in a position to act after I've built the Barduk Bridge.
You're determined to destroy it.
I'm going to compromise. There is no other objective I can use to get my results. Today, I have given the Turks reason to be suspicious of the Shamar people, who are not friendly towards Prince Faisal and myself. Even though the Sheikh could still persuade the Turks that they have nothing to fear from him, I must have the Turks actively opposed to the whole Shamar. To achieve this, I have to make it seem that the Sheikh of Shamar is behind the attack.
That Shamar saddlebag over there will be dropped by the broken bridge as evidence of their treachery.
The Shamar will not fight with us, and I cannot afford the risk that they might fight against us. It takes an Arab to fight an Arab. The Shamar must be neutralized, and the Turks must never be able to trust them again.
The bridge has more military significance than I realized.
It would suit my purposes to make only a token break, small gap. Could this be repaired quickly?
There are huge towers at the end of the bridge, solid Teutonic design. I imagine we could repair a small craft inside a day.
And this would satisfy you, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. I apologize for going off the handle.
This is a new experience for me, making arrangements to rebuild before a bridge is even destroyed. And to save your restless spirit, I think Abdullah and I can see you well on the way home again. You have ridden a camel before?
Yes, sir, I have.
Have you any objections, Sergeant Spencer?
Oh, I've never been in a camel in my life, sir. It's fine with me. Anything is better than walking. Anything is better than walking, I said. I should have kept my mouth shut. I'll never ride a camel again so long as I live. I ache in all the wrong places.
Well, we could never have made it this far on foot. And when we arrive back at camp, you will show no signs of the ride.
I need a bath, too. I must feel as bad as a camel myself.
Yes. And Mooch is sure to ask about the Subadar. We shall tell him that the Indians at End of Line were restless after the rumors and that he's gone back there to keep them under control.
I suppose this is adventurous to keep secret.
You will not mention it to a soul. And tonight we shall keep a lookout, turn and turn about.
Oh, I was looking forward to a full night in that lovely bed.
Oh, we'll listen out for the bang. If the noise is loud enough, we shall have an excuse to rouse the whole camp.
I think I volunteered for the army.
Any complaints, Sergeant Spencer?
I'll think of some when the war's over.
Oh, straighten up and step out. Come on, Spencer. We'll make a real soldier from you yet.
It is done now, Rons. I have scattered the tokens where they can be found. The Turks will see the evidence before their eyes and will believe the Samar were here.
Good. Then we're nearly ready. Charge is laid. Time to press the plunger.
But, is this not too close to the bridge, Oran?
Shall we run to the other side of the world to hide?
No. A big tower will screen us.
Oh!
Why, you stumble, Oran. Something wrong.
Little boy.
Oh, the sickness has returned.
I will go as fast as it came.
I am ready, my robber. Crouch beside me.
Yor!
We have to be careful. I promised only a small break in the bridge. Ready? Now. It is well, Oran. A small one indeed. Come by sickness. The tower seems to be moving. It is under the feet. It moves, Oran.
Get off the railway track, Abdullah. The tower is moving.
Who's designed that bridge? Small part loans in the center span, but see. The tower, the bridge, all of it crumbles into the floor. It drags the railway with it.
I promise, Kitty.
Yes, Ben. Something's gone badly wrong. Well, at least we don't have to sit in suspense for the rest of the night. It's waking the whole camp.
What are we
going
to do?
Wait until the Turks are thoroughly roused and then have a meeting with Mooch.
I'd be damn suspicious about this.
Hey, no. I suggested there might be trouble out there and he wouldn't believe me.
He'll be subdued for not trusting my instinct in the first place.
The times, and I'm damn glad we're on the same side.
Something else that Mooch will probably say, and I think he might well be right this time.
No use to look with empty eyes, Oran. The bridge will not come back. It was the will of Allah. He took it in his hands and cast it down.
It was a necessary risk of war. Oh, I am weary, my robber. Let us go.
The sergeant soldier will build a better bridge.
Pippin will need a miracle to throw a bridge across that gaping mouth in the time.
He is a man with destiny on his forehead. He dreams by day. Such a man makes a dream come into reality.
Are there really such men, Abdullah?
Yes, Oran. I serve such a one myself.
If I thought you were mocking me, Rai Robber. Come. You will leave this for the man who must rebuild. He has his task. And we have ours. There is far to go.
Dragged from my bed in the middle of night and then out here into the engine place. It is not even light gone, Pippin.
And we cannot be sure that anything has really happened at the back of Breeze.
The explosion was enough to wake the dead.
But not enough to wake the living. It took you to wake me.
So take it from me, Captain Mooshak. There was a loud explosion from the direction of the bridge.
Yes, I know. I am getting old, that is all. I'm coming with you, Tom Pippin. But will there only be the two of us?
Well, the engine driver, though we don't really need him, I could take it out myself if necessary. I've given orders to my men. They'll be kept busy enough.
If it were anyone else...
Oh, hang it. Why wait any longer? The sky's growing lighter to the east. It's 3 miles to the bridge. Should be light by the time we get there. Come on, Mookie. Up you get.
All right, driver. Stop this thing. Stop! Stop!
Hey, what is it?
Can you see something?
A line up ahead. It's torn and twisted.
Many 100 feet from the bridge.
Yeah, that's another thing. There is no bridge.
No bridge? I cannot see with all this steam.
Here. Let me help you down. You will see well enough away from the loco.
Up, down, up, down. This time in the morning, at my age, at my weight, it's too much to ask of a man.
Look for yourself. There's nothing left at all.
He's gone. The great towers, the bridge, the railway on both sides of the gorge. All gone, but it is not possible.
Let's get up close. I'll find out what's happened.
Perhaps it was the design. It's a massive thing to build in the sand. The man who designed it knew nothing of the desert country. It could have fallen by its own weight.
Oh, there was an explosion. It was both heard and seen from the camp. Yeah, and look at that. An Arab headdress.
It is of one of the tribes of the Shamar. They are friendly to the Turk.
And that?
Part of a saddlebag, a Shamar saddlebag.
And lying beside it, a stick of gelignite. The Shamar are friendly.
They would not turn on us.
I think the evidence speaks for itself. The Shamar have joined the Arab revolt.
That we must go back to report.
But the whole bridge is gone. What about the 400 Indians, the Subadar?
There is nothing we can do for them now.
Mooche! Ever since I have known you... You have complained that your talent for bridge building has never been used.
Not a time to talk of wild dreams.
I'm talking of action. We are going to build a new bridge. We have only 3 days. This is the moment you've waited for all your life.
No, let us not talk of this.
Not talk of it? Now don't tell me your nerves failed at a time like this.
Oh, Tom, please do not talk of it. Let us think of some other way.
There is no other way. Oh, what the hell? Look at me, Mooche. Are you capable of designing a bridge, or have you been a blubber of wind all this time?
A blubber of wind to say this to old Mooche?
I say it to Astapas Mooshak, the man who's longed all his life to build a bridge. A man who has the chance to take life in his hands and mold it to his own desire.
I am not a man for this sort of thing. It is too late.
Rubbish.
I am harmless. I talk much, but it is only idle dreaming. Do not spoil the foolish dreams of a silly old man.
Just you listen to me, Captain Mooshak. You are going to design me a bridge if it kills you. You hear me?
I cannot. It is all pretense. You are emptying me of my vanities. Do not make it worse for
I've seen your instruments and some of your designs.
They're not mine. Copies I have made of other people's bridges.
You can calculate every stress and strain as may be required. You've surveyed this whole area in detail. You even suggested the gorge ought to be spanned 300 yards further down than the original.
The gorge is only 170 feet wide there. I thought it would be the better place.
It is the better place, and we shall prove it. With the tracks torn up, we shall have to relay to the gorge. In any case, we can lay them to the new position just as easily.
You will need men on the other side.
No time for that.
But it is impossible.
Nothing is impossible. Now, there are many kinds of bridges. A swing bridge... A drawbridge. Drawbridge, like Arthur's Tower Bridge in London. Hey, why not? Then we don't need to climb out over the gorge during the construction. Men get careless when working at speed.
You would need a great tower, solidly embedded to support such a thing. It would take longer to build than the old bridge.
But is there no way to build a bridge quickly, yet which could be done without climbing out over the gorge?
Only by building a bridge on wheels and dragging it across. You ask for ideas, and I have none that are worth talking.
I like that. A bridge on wheels.
You would need men the other side to pull it across, and it would be so heavy.
We could push it across. 6, 7, 8 locomotives or more if we should need them. Not wheels. Rollers.
Helicopters.
Oh, yes.
It would topple into the gorge by its own weight. Perhaps not.
However ridiculous it may sound, Mooche, speak your thoughts aloud. Between us, we may hammer something into shape.
Under the surface of this sand is solid rock on both sides of the gorge. If we cleared that, there would be good support for rollers. To stop the bridge toppling over, we could build it more than twice the width, say 400 feet long. Then the weight of the structure would be self-supporting until we can establish it on the other side.
This is the dreaming of Astapas Mooshak. Let him dream on.
This will be an immense project. It's never been done before.
Well, it's the first time for everything.
There's so much material.
I'll leave that to me.
To you? I know all the prisoners of war look to you as their leader, but you do not have full control. You are a remarkable man, but you are still a prisoner of war.
Now, don't waste breath, Mucci. You know damn well who's in control here. I've had 3 years to perfect my organization, and I've had some outstanding men to help. Men trained in all the arts of war and communication. They're already commandeering rolling stock and mountains of material at all points on the railway between here and beyond Aleppo.
Not possible. In any case, it would require a very high authority to sanction such action.
I had planned to eventually dislocate railway and telegraph communications behind the battle area, which is coming nearer every day, but this emergency has forced me to show me hand. I have the authority of the battle commander himself.
You have gained the authority of a German general.
Well, not in actual fact, Mucci. But he's very preoccupied in Nazareth at the moment. Now, the authority is forged. By the time he gets to hear of it, well, who knows? The credit will be given him if we succeed, and if it were to be generally known that forged orders have been issued in his name, it'd dislocate his entire chain of command. His every order would be suspect. I know military ways, Mucci. And what's more, I sacrificed my own plans to save those men. I shall never be able to pull it off now. Well, Mucci, are you going to design me my bridge?
I don't know.
There's no one else with the experience and ambition for me to call on.
It is not that. You are a truly formidable person. Mm-hmm. It is my own ability I doubt much, as I would like to do that.
Well, will you try, Mucci? 400 men must die a terrible death out there if we should fail. By tomorrow morning, I shall have men and materials on the site. I must have a design.
We come into a war as enemies, and look at us now. Not just friends, but men working together for the same cause. I will design you a bridge, Tom Pippin.
On the desert with a holy man who is wandering in the mind. I took him for what he looks. He stands well enough.
Oh, my master, I have seen the dog many times before. He is Abdullah El Nabi, the robber. I could not forget him, O illustrious one.
You hear this, Ahmed, my brother. My servant Tazi here has told you who he is. I am the chief of our tribe, Ahmed, not you. This matter should have been brought to me before they were fed and watered.
You were sleeping, Jazim.
They could have waited until I awoke. This Abdul El Nahabi is a thief and a barbarian. I saw him flog myself on the orders of the Sheikh of Shamar. Insolent and a liar. It is said that now he serves the infidel dog, the Englishman, Aurans. Ah, a holy man, you say?
A sick man, my brother, with fever closing his eyes.
You will take me to them at once.
They are resting in my tent.
I will see them, and it must be now. I do not think it was the Holy One he brought from the desert. It was this Aura.
Aurans, this is a bad sickness.
Give my regards to Daoud, little one.
You do not hear me, Aurans.
Oh. Oh. God will forgive me, Farage. God will forgive.
Who's that? It is Ahmed of the Faith.
Oh. You have been a generous Tawak, Lord, but the holy man is wearied.
My brother would see this holy man.
No.
My brother is the chief of all the Faiths and would not be denied.
No. And I am here to see what holy man is fool enough to ride with Abdullah the robber. Outside the tent of hospitality, my lord of Faiz, I would force words like that deep into your bearded throat.
I know you, robber. Stand aside.
I would see the Holy One.
He has ripped his clothes away. The body is torn with wounds.
What sort of holy man is this? A greater man than ever walked the desert in all times before.
This is the Englishman, Aurans,
the prince of Mecca, Lord of Faiz, a holy prince.
We of the Faiz owe no allegiance to the servants of Hussein or of his son, Faisal.
The mighty Lord Aurans is fevered
He has fought many battles for Arabia.
That broken body.
Yes, it holds the spirit of a mighty warrior and prince.
Abdullah.
Abdullah. Is that you? Where are you?
I am here, Aurans.
Abdullah, I see you. Where are we?
In sanctuary, Aurans.
Who are these men?
It is our host, Ahmed, and his brother, the chieftain, Jazim al-Fayyid.
It is all well.
It is well, Aurans.
It is well. Oh, we must not run. Oh, we must not run. If they do what he will, we shall stay to fight.
What is
call
it?
Him at Tav. We shall stay to fight.
Once again. He fights the battles of the past. He's at Haza, where we brought the Turk under Hamid Fakhri.
That was a battle.
We shall leave you. Good rest, my friend.
And to you, Ahmed, most generous one.
Oh, I do not trust the Drazim. But we must wait, Aurans. We must wait. Your body needs its rest. I will sit by your side. My dagger is ready. Now rest, Aurans. Rest well.
You did get the orders out, Spencer. Everything else is on its way, but no news of the telegraph poles.
Don't worry, Tom. We've commandeered the whole stock of the Bashi character. Still here.
Look at his face.
I've been expecting trouble from him. Ask him to step inside.
Oh, no need. He's coming.
Oh, what's the meaning of this, Avaldar?
I've heard that you're not going to allow my men the noon rest period.
We shall work all the day and all the night until this work is completed. Understand?
Indian Army regulations clearly state...
Don't you dare quote regulations
we
at me.
We shall obey the rules and regulations.
You will obey me.
We shall obey the officers properly appointed over us.
Are you suggesting mutiny, Avaldar?
You're not of the Indian Army, sir.
I have delegated authority of your superior, the Subedar.
If you have that in writing, sir, we shall obey your
orders. You know damn well I haven't got it in writing. You do realize that this work is to save your fellow countrymen at end of line.
Without the proper authority, I shall not order my men to work in the noon hours. Again, yes, seeing the dark.
We shall have fires burning high at night. Now, all of us, British, Turks, and Indians, will work the same hours.
The bridge was destroyed by Major Lawrence's orders of the British Army headquarters. What has been done is not our responsibility. And you, sir, were too friendly with our enemies.
Spencer, hand me down that whip.
Don't lose your temper, Tom.
You are a witness to this interview, Sergeant Spencer.
You have heard this Havildar refuse to obey the orders of his duly appointed superior.
You are not of the Indian Army, sir.
And you are, Havildar. You are also a good Hindu, I believe. Here, take this bullwhip in your hand. You know what it's made from and how.
I will not touch it. You can't make me.
Now, to touch this would defile you. It'll make you a permanent outcast. And unless you obey my orders, I shall have you stripped tight to the railway lines, and I shall personally flog you in sight of every Indian soldier in this command. Not one of them would ever let your shadow touch him again.
Stop, it's not serious.
Look deep into my eyes, Havildar. Speak to yourself.
But you're not entitled to give orders.
The tents are already here, Havildar. We shall camp on this site until the work is completed. I have made out a rota. The men will be separated into working parties and will work a shift system. The work will go on continuously. You will accept the authority delegated to me. You will take this rota and you will give the necessary commands to all Indian ranks. You understand, Havildar?
Subject!
I... Attention, Havildar! That's better. Now, I understand what's caused this action of yours, Havildar. You're a soldier and a good one, too, if I'm to believe the Subedar. I will ask you once again. Will you obey my orders?
Very well, sir.
Thank you. And in those circumstances, Avaldar, I am passing on the full delegated authority of your superdar to you. His good name and his life are in your keeping.
Yes, sir.
It is the rota, Avaldar. Take it.
Yes, sir.
The matter is closed, Avaldar. You may return to your duties.
Now I've seen everything. That was the biggest bluff you ever pulled, Tom.
Bluff?
Oh, you don't mean you'd have done it.
This is a hard, cruel world, Spence. Not a schoolroom filled with mischievous children. I only threaten as a last resort, and then I mean every word I say.
The pride of one man is nothing against the lives of 400. He'll win his pride back if we can finish this bridge in time.
I'm expecting an awful lot from Lucci.
No, he won't let us down. He'll be here with the designs tomorrow morning, just as promised. Now, come on. I want to make a tour of inspection.
I have worked through a long, sleepless night, but I think I have done it. Here is the main plan. Most of these are various structural details, and these are various elevations. But this may explain it best. A sketch of a construction before crossing the gorge, and another of the bridge in position.
Oh, it looks good, Moochie. Really good, eh, Spence?
It looks very good on paper.
It is higher than I first intended, but I have to be sure of its strength. I have spread the weight over 500 feet, which gives a better incline to the center.
Oh, what are these? They look like pony shafts.
When locomotives push the structure towards the gorge, those shafts will be locked onto them to avoid the bridge springing away. It may look strange, but I have no precedent to follow. Well, Tom?
So much in so little time. It's brilliant, Moochie. Now we need to break it down into its component parts.
I have done that also. Here. A full inventory of requirements.
And I thought you were lax and inefficient. It's a fantastic achievement. Take the inventory, Spence. Check it and start piling it where it can easily be collected.
Right, you are, Doc.
You've done a magnificent job, Moochie. You can leave the rest to me. There's much to be done.
Perhaps too much. But if you don't mind, I would like to stay and help. Under your orders, of course.
Glad to have you.
I feel like a mother having to watch over her child. There was so much excitement in me when I had completed it this morning. I decided to move out here and live in the camp. I've even brought my horse so I may ride round the full work.
No, your help on the site will be invaluable, Moochie, but you cannot stay out here at night.
But, Tom...
No, don't get me wrong. You're not a young man, and I would feel better to know you were getting a full and proper night's rest.
That would not be the same as sharing all your dangers.
This is a straightforward construction job. You share the dangers when the time comes. I insist you return each evening to a comfortable night in your own bed.
Oh, very well. I will do as you say.
Good. Now, let's just go out and start work.
What? But you've done so much already.
Preparation, and one day gone. From now on, it'll be slack out. Oh, it's been a good day's work, Evelder. Please thank your men for me.
Thank you, sir.
No trouble with the firewood?
Oh, no, sir. We are using some of the railway slippers, as you suggested.
And the men are satisfied with the rotor system?
They grumble, but it is the only way of the old soldiers. But they will obey orders.
Mm, good. But, I feel there's something else on your mind, Harold. Please feel free to speak.
There are many superstitions among my men, and there is also growing belief that this bridge will demand a sacrifice, sir. In my country, it is well known that such a great thing is worthy of...
I'm not altogether keen on sacrifice myself, but if you think it necessary, Avildar, I'll arrange for a couple of goats to be brought out. Try to arrange it so the ceremony won't interfere with the work.
You have not understood me, Sartre.
No?
The bridge will demand a human sacrifice, and it will not be for us to give. It will be taken in its own time.
I'd like that sort of talk discouraged, Avildar.
I tell you what is in the minds of my men, sir.
You try to get it into their heads that this is a bridge of life we are building. Don't let them dream on thoughts like that around the night fires. It may give some fool stupid idea.
Sorry,
Tom, but... Come on, then, out with it. Thank you, Havildar, if there's nothing else.
No, sir. I'll return to my duty.
Now, what is it, Ben?
Trouble. There's an Arab out there wanting to speak with the Turkish officer in command. Something about Major Lawrence. It's a good job Lucy's gone back to Nepali.
Get him in here right away.
He's on the doorstep.
Hey, you! In here!
Before he is my humble rudeness, oh mighty lord. I am come from the tents of my master, Jassim Advise, with urgent news.
Speak out, then.
You are the commandant, lord?
I am the master here. You may speak.
I have traveled fast to bring a message from the Faiz at the orders of my own master. The English spy Orange, for whom you have offered a great reward, lies sick in the tent of my master's brother Ahmed. My master begs that you come soon to take him away.
This Orange is alone?
No, lord. His servant, Abdullah the robber, is with him. I myself recognize that one, and my master has seen the infidel dog Orange.
And this Orange is sick?
My master told me to tell you he was hot and talked strangely from his sickness. They have rested in the tent of my Ahmed since last night.
How far is your camp?
I rode my camel out while the men slept from the hot noon of the sun.
How long has it been here, Spencer? Oh,
about 20 minutes before I got him, so I gathered.
Now it's nearly 5 o'clock. If he left his camp at 1, that'd make it a 3.5-hour journey. Moochie left his horse behind. Get it settled.
You can't go out there alone.
You, servant of the fort.
Lord.
Wait here. Come, Spencer. That man in there thinks we're Turks. Major Lawrence is in trouble and must be warned.
I thought the Arabs were supposed to be his friends.
There are Arabs and then Arabs. I'm going to warn him.
They'll kill you.
Now, they'll probably think I'm a Turk, same as that chap. If I don't come back, use your intelligence. Make up a plan. But I expect to be back before morning, as long as I get off at once. You will be in charge here. Now, get that horse saddled for me.
Who is it that comes out of the night upon the tents of Fais?
Who the devil's this?
It is only the brother of my master, Lord. It is Tazi, the servant of Jassim El Fais, the chief. I bring the Turkish lord.
The dog, Tazi.
Hold your camel still, Tazi, that I may help you down.
I can calm down for myself.
Make the camel kneel. Kneel. Kneel.
Kneel? I can do it well enough.
Climb down, you dog of a dog. Climb down, I say.
I come. I come.
And you, Turk, stay as you are. About you in the night are the fighting men of Fais. My brother has broken the most sacred law of sanctuary. Is it not written that a guest is more sacred than the very word of God?
I obeyed the words of my master. He will speak for me.
He will speak for no one. His is the slow death. For you, it will be quick. You are but a dog. Call to Allah for forgiveness. The knife says your time is come, Tazi.
Oh, spare me, Lord. The dagger is too great a thing for that I, who have but obeyed the commands of my master.
Die, you dog of a dog. For the ignorant, we must be merciful. A coward to the end is done. You were a fool to ride in here alone, Turk.
You know better than that. No Turk would ride here alone. I come to speak with Aaron.
Not he, Turk. What are you then?
I am a British sergeant soldier. That fool mistook me for a Turk and led me here. Where is Arant?
He is gone.
That man you have killed told me Arant was sick and filled with fever.
Word of this dishonor came to me. I warned the warrior, Abdullah. They rode out into the night, he and Arant. Abdullah the robber. They named him well. 4 camels he stole. 4 loaded camels from the tents of my brother.
Your brother would have seen Abdullah dead. To me, this would seem a just thing.
Yet, when my brother dies, I will be the chief of the Fais, and those camels would be mine. I, who have helped him escape.
Your brother still lives?
Over there. Pinned to this hand by Bedouin swords. We have torn out his treacherous tongue and placed salt on his lips. He cannot cry aloud for the water he craves, and in the heat of the tomorrow noon, he will burn to his death. And you, who call yourself a British soldier, there is only your word on this.
My word is enough. The Lord Arant has journeyed into the desert again. So too must I.
You will be dead if I do not give the word.
And you will give the word.
You will not find Arant.
He will come to me if he must. It is enough. My horse now turns his head for home. Here I have seen your traitors die as traitors should. I pray Allah will burn away all shame by the sun of the tomorrow noon.
Allah will hear the words of your mouth. It is well.
This one will ride away in peace.
The word is given. You will not be harmed.
I greet a greater chieftain than the Fais have seen before.
Our shame is not by half so much. It is a private thing.
Go well, you servant of Arant.
The devil are those sentries posted for? I had to sneak my way back in.
Oh, what about that? Don't worry. One of the Indians said he wandered over to the court. I posted sentries to see it doesn't happen again.
Well, I got by easily enough. They weren't very alert. And come to that, nor were you.
Oh, I needed to sleep. Was I supposed to sit up all night worrying? Well, what did Major Lawrence have to say?
He was gone. They'd already warned him.
You mean you risked all of this and 400 Indian soldiers for nothing?
You can get that tone out of your voice.
Personal example, you've always said. Make me into a real soldier. I had to set sentries because you forgot.
Well, you reacted just as I'd have done had I been here.
And why weren't you here? The commander-in-chief out on some petty patrol playing a hero. And where did it get you?
Schoolmaster, soldier, prisoner of war. For you, it's just another experience. And you're being insubordinate. I don't have to play at heroes for you or anybody else.
Is that all you can do? Pull rank on me. Can't you admit that you're wrong?
I'm a professional soldier, Spencer. My career was finished the day they captured me in that trench. After this is over, what would I be able to say to the first Tuppenny Eagle recruit who asked, what did you do in the war, Sarge? I spent a long time getting the answer to that ready. The dislocation of the entire Turkish rear and myself in control of communications. Then I could face the army again. But for the sake of 400 Indian soldiers, I've wrecked any chance of that happening. And all of us put together, the 400 Indians over there, the rest of us here, every prisoner of war in Turkey, meaning you and me aren't worth a damn against what Major Lawrence is doing or the documents we gave him.
Sorry, Tom, I was tired and worried and I...
Oh, how the hell do you think I feel? Out there, I saw a man dying to save a tribe from shame. Oh, so easy and at the right time. Yes. Yes, I made a wasted journey, but what is our time against his? Tilting a bridge that'll probably collapse as soon as a train goes over it.
No.
A crazy idea, not together in a few days.
I've never seen you like this.
But I shall be on that first train as it plunges into the gorge. Dying for nothing, the epitaph of Dom Pippin. Oh, I've run myself and that horse into the ground. Neither of those will be fit to ride for a few days. And we'll have to get the horse back to the stables at Netherbeam before Moochie sees him. He'll have a rest. No such luck for us. Getting light already. But Lawrence is well on his way across the desert by now. That's something.
Abdullah, why am I tied to this camel like a piece of baggage?
Abdullah! Aaron, you are awake.
We ride camels, but I dreamed I slept in a tent. And the sun is rising.
It is morning, Aaron.
Am I a child not to know it must be morning when the sun rises?
Look, it's on our right.
Journey northward. And three other camels follow.
We lost the fourth into the night.
Mm. Where are they from?
From Jassim al-Faiz. He does not need them.
Ah, it was no dream then. I rested in a tent. Is camel stealing your way to thank a host?
Jassim dies the death of a traitor. His brother came to warn me that his servant had gone to fetch the Turks. As we rode away, four camels chose to follow where we went. It is a mystery of the desert, Aaron. But they're foolish camels, heavy loaded with salt.
So, why do we ride north?
Hold.
Oh! Look ahead, Abdullah. A railway shining in the morning sun. And there, lines of tents. Which way do we ride after leaving the Faiz?
Towards the rising of the sun.
If we cross the deep gully on the way?
Yes, Aaron. I think we lost the camel there.
East and then north, to where the railway ends. This is the place that Pippin spoke about. The camp at the end of the line.
We shall find no welcome here.
It is the will of Allah, if you like. Three camels loaded with salt. In the desert, men go parched without water. Without salt, they are dead. Here we will find a greater welcome than you know. And a place to gather strength. Come!
Your bridge, Captain Milchick. 2 days and night, men worked to exhaustion, but we're ready.
You have driven them more than we would ever dare.
You'd have to fight Tom Pippin if you tried that.
Anything ready, Spence?
Just about.
Good. The engines will begin to move forward when the green flag is raised, the red flag will stop them. Captain Milchick,
Will you please give the signal to commence?
The commandant Nezabin is watching. He will see all that we do.
We'll give him something to remember.
Move away! Get those men away! Come on, up the level! Get moving! Good, good.
Come on! Right, now comes the test. We've all slaved for. Give the signal, Moochie. There.
That's technology. Two sharp whistles for all to move forward, one long whistle for all to stop.
Front engine is slipping his wheels. They go round, but the engine doesn't move.
It's moving now, slowly but surely. Steady.
It's going to work. I'm holding my breath and praying. At this moment, all my weaknesses are back upon me. I have designed to sing. Halfway across, it really is working.
That fish has only one master. Without you, Thumpipin, it would not have existed at all.
Oh, any fool can do a laboring job. Look, almost at the other side without that. It cannot be. These foolish old eyes of mine are killing.
The engines are taking the strain.
Dammit, there's something the matter. Instinct, I can feel it in every bone of my body.
It is exactly as it was before, even to the slipping of the engine wheel.
There is something wrong.
Stop those sand engines.
The flags are on the other side of the gorge. Look at the shaft. The one is bending. It's broken. The whole structure is beginning to swing sideways on Spencer with his back to it. Spencer! Spencer!
I cannot hear you in this noise.
Move!
Now,
that lunatic on the hill that raises the red flag. Oh, God.
Ben. Stop.
You're hammered, huh?
Are you satisfied a human sacrifice? You wanted a British soldier doing his duty to the last.
Sergeant Pippin, please do not lose your self-control.
I have no words to express my sorrow, sir. The Sergeant Spencer is dead.
You've looked?
Yes, sir. I was running across the bridge at the time.
I didn't see you. I'm sorry I spoke harshly. I will now forget it.
There were two words, sir. I should have been the one to die.
Nonsense, Avildar. No man's done more than you.
Thank you, sir. Now may I have your permission to finish the job of Sergeant Spencer.
You? Do what?
The men need a firm hand now, sir. And I'm the only one who can control the situation.
Of course, Avildar. As soon as the new shaft can be fitted, we shall begin again. Carry on, please.
Won't keep your mama, Moochie. Make yourself comfortable.
The water train is ready.
And the bridge?
Many iron stakes have been driven into the rock to hold it steady, and the track is laid on the other side.
And now we come to the real acid test. Just let me finish this. In case it does all go wrong, I'd like to leave the record complete.
The Indians are convinced that the spirit of a fine British soldier guards the bridge, and we'll keep it safe from harm.
Spencer was killed in a moment of personal carelessness. Not what this record says, but it's a fact. Unnecessary.
He was your friend.
Yes, he was my friend.
I feel he was also mine. And I have decided to give the bridge a name. The Spencer Bridge.
No, Captain Muchak. That isn't necessary.
I have informed the commandant, and it is agreed. There is another thing.
Bad news?
I have been promoted to colonel for my brilliant feat of organization.
Well, I'm damned. Congratulations, McJay.
Commandant also wished to award you a Turkish medal for heroism.
What? Oh, no. I'm sorry. That's out. I can't take it.
That is what I told the commandant you would say. Tom, I owe you very much more than I can ever repay.
You designed me a bridge when I wanted nothing more in the world. And we haven't got that water train across there yet. I'm ready, Colonel Muchak, if you are. There's one thing. I'd like to offer the Avildar a place on the locomotive with us.
Whatever you say, Tom.
Avildar!
You will give him great status with his men.
Oh, he already has that. I'm offering him a chance to join Spencer at the bottom of the gorge.
Have you lost confidence?
No, take no notice. Haveldar.
Yes, sir.
There is a moment of great crisis ahead. The bridge is to be crossed for the first time. Should we succeed, the water train will continue the full journey to end of line. Colonel Mushak and I feel that you have earned the right to ride in the locomotive with us.
Thank you, sir. It will be a great honor.
Good. After you, then, Colonel.
Change that sound. You will have to help me up some. All this weight, you know.
All right, Moochie. Up you get.
Ah!
Are you aboard, Haveldar?
Yes, sir.
Let us go, driver. Slowly.
I will, Findy. You'll...
Oh, we'll soon know the worst. Here it comes.
Now you have me worried. A theory is all very well.
Too late for worry, Moochie. Here we go. Well, if anything does go wrong, I have the pleasure of being in the company of men I would choose to die with.
There's no danger, sir.
Of course there is, Haveldar.
Not with Sergeant Spencer guarding us, sir.
I told you.
We're nearly across. Not even straining. It really is a strong bridge, Moochie.
Not sweat poured into it.
The men are cheering, sir. Dancing and cheering.
Hide them up ahead. They have done a great thing, Haveldar. You must tell them so.
No, sir. You must tell them in the presence of the citizens.
Very well. And, Haveldar.
Yes, sir.
That incident in my tent never happened. Understand?
Thank you, sir. I am.
All right. Open it up, driver. There are men waiting for us at end of line. Better begin to slow down, driver. The camp is just beyond the next curve. May I borrow your field glasses, Captain Mushak?
Of course, son. They're no earthly use to me in this place. I can hardly move. Look out.
Come to that. You're more likely to spot your own people, Haveldar. You take them.
Yes, sir.
And keep your eyes open. We're coming round the curve now.
I can see the tent, sir.
Well?
There is nothing moving, sir.
Here, let me have a look. No. Driver, give him a blast on your whistle.
My God, don't do it so suddenly. I nearly fell out of the cab.
Sorry, Moochie. Yes, that's brought someone out. Three of them. Here, Haveldar, what do you make of it?
Yes, sir. Three of them. But two are Arabs. A tall one and a small one. I can also see the men. They are lying in the shadows of the tent. They move only there.
You must be mistaken. Arabs do not mix with Indians.
Let me have a look, Haveldar. Yes.
Well, I'll be damned. I can see them with my own eyes, sir. The Arabs are mounting their camels. They mean to ride away.
Just a moment, Moochie.
Yes, it is them. Mounted the camels and riding.
All right, Moochie. Here, see for yourself.
The stupid Arabs given them a military salute.
A natural courtesy, Haveldar.
I can see only their backs. It must be a man and a boy.
There are more men moving now.
What could Arabs have been doing in here?
Now, the engine has slowed down. I'll jump off and find out.
You'll all get off together.
Come on, then.
He manages to keep his feet.
He knows I cannot follow.
Sit in, sir. I need not say how delighted we all are to see you. I knew you would come.
You'll never know how glad I am to see your smiling face.
My own pleasure is the greater, I assure you.
Any casualties?
A few of the men will need hospital, nothing worse.
Thank God.
Yes, but I also thank Tom Pippin and Major Lawrence.
We saw him riding away. You'll have to invent a good story for Colonel Mushak. He thinks they were ordinary Arabs.
Colonel Mushak?
Yes, Subedar. Promotion. But what did Lawrence come here for?
To gather strength, I think. He looked so ill when he came, but I was overjoyed to see him. Seven of my men were down with heat stroke.
Heat stroke, my God.
They would have died, but Major Lawrence brought us three camels loaded down with salt. It was then I knew that the gods were on our side.
They move in strange ways, the gods, I mean.
Major Lawrence also returned this, your black toolbox. He said he had left you a message inside.
Thank you, Subedar. Now here comes Moochie. I wish to commend Haveldar Molnar for his devotion to duty.
He has acted in the finest traditions of the Indian army.
Are we in time? Please say we are in time.
Thanks to the gods we are in time, Colonel Muchek. Not one life has been lost here.
Not one. It is a miracle. It truly is. By the way, who were those Arabs we saw from the train?
They rode in to bring us a gift of salt. It was badly needed.
Salt? The one thing we forgot.
Yes, Muchek. Oh. We built an impossible bridge inside an impossibly short space of time. We doled out salt to each man every day and brought none of it with us. I will hear nothing more against the Arabs.
But how did they know?
News travels fast in the desert. But why question what they've done? To see men die of heat stroke is a terrible thing. No moisture escaping to cool the body. The temperature burning them up until death rushes upon them. And we forgot to bring salt.
Don't blame yourself, Tom. You have done more than any man could hope to do.
Is something the matter, Sergeant Pippin, sir?
No. I'm tired, Superdar, that's all.
He's worked day and night. He would not sleep. But there is time now, Tom. Go into the shade and rest. I will arrange things with the Superdar.
Yes, I'll be all right. You carry on.
Arrange for your men to come to the wagons in single file and we can distribute the water, Subedar.
My NCOs have their orders. They are lining up with their chitties and the other men must stay where they are and wait to be served. NCOs do not drink until the men have had their fill.
Uh-huh.
An old black toolbox. You've been around old boxes. Nice to have you back again. A message, he said. Ah, yes. Now, what do these say?
Dreamers of the day are dangerous men. For they may act their dream with open eyes to make it possible, as you have done.
You've been listening to The Indomitable Pippin, a new play for radio by Alan Peacock, with William Lucas as Pippin, Peter Stevens as Muchak, John Bowen as Lawrence, and Roger Delgado as Abdullah. The part of Sergeant Spencer was played by John Rowe, Subadar by Hugh Ward, Hovildar by Bakshi Prem, Ahmed by Colin Skip, Jasim by George Woolley, and Fazi by Charles Butler. Production was by Anthony Cornish in the BBC's Midland Studios.